From the Barton Worley studios of Abilene Public Radio, this is Eye on Entertainment. Good afternoon, I'm Blaine Singletary. 1 year ago this week, Eye on Entertainment went on the air for the first time. Man, what a trip. From our humble beginnings as a 2.5-minute radio segment to our new 10-minute show, we remain dedicated to our mission of dispelling the myth that there's nothing to do in Abilene. We hope to expand on this mission for many years to come. So, without further ado, take a look with me. Okay, EOE buffs, time to test your fandom. What was the first thing I ever talked about on this show? If you guessed the Fort Griffin Fandangle, you're right. And since we've been on the air for a full year now, the Fandangle is back again. And here to tell us more about it is Susan Waller, who joined us now on the line. Ms. Waller, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Now, I know this has been going on for this past weekend. How's it been going so far?
It's been really fantastic. We have great crowds this weekend, especially. It's the last weekend, and we have people coming from all over the state and the country to the shows this weekend.
Now, this event needs no introduction for residents of this area, but describe this for someone who might be new here, someone who may have just moved in and doesn't know about the Fandangle.
Okay, Fandangle is the oldest outdoor musical in Texas. It started in 1938 as a senior play. It is about the history of the county and the pioneers and settlers and the cowboys and Indians and soldiers moving to this county.
Is this essentially the same show from 38, or have things evolved?
It has totally evolved, and nearly all the songs we use, people in Albany have written the songs, made the costumes, made the sets. Everything that is done on the show is Albany people.
So it's a totally homegrown show, I guess.
Absolutely. We usually have about 300 cast members every year, plus you add another 100 or 200 backstage and support cast.
And I understand there's a good cast of livestock as well.
Yes, we have the official state Longhorn herd that stays at Fort Griffin State Historical Site, and they are actually in the show. They know their cues better than most of the people do.
Is there anything new or unique to this particular show, something that someone who's gone to many of them will notice, hey, that's something new?
We do have several new songs, and the Indian Raid is really fantastic. And then we have like a prairie fire where there's the fire is all on the stage. Those are a couple of new things.
Wow, a fire.
Yes.
How is that, was that difficult to choreograph?
I mean, yes, it is. And Fandangle is not the safest thing in the world. It's a very exciting show. Many, many things can happen on stage when you're when you have horses and longhorn cattle and wagons, stage coaches. It's very dangerous but well choreographed. So we just think people love that excitement of the show.
So what would you say is the main draw for an event like this one?
Besides the excitement, it's the best family show that you could come go to. You come to town, we have stuff all day long. If you wanted to come spend the whole day in Albany and be entertained all afternoon and all evening, you could spend $15 and you'd be done.
Ms. Waller, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome.
The Fort Griffin Fandangle is going on now in Albany, which is just a short drive from Abilene. You can catch the show tonight and tomorrow night. For more information and tickets, 762-3838. If you're in the mood for something more indoors and in town, there's a show for you. The Paramount is holding the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. Now, why is Putnam County holding their bee here in Taylor County, you ask? Well, it's not really a spelling bee. It's the Paramount summer musical featuring many actors and actresses from around town, including KACU's very own Caleb Robinson, who joined us now in the studio to tell us more. Mr. Robinson, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mr. Singletary.
Now, this musical is fairly new from what I've heard. Describe it for anyone who may not have heard of it before.
Well, the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee is by William Finn. It won a Tony Award several years ago. It's a hilarious Broadway show about six kids and three adults that participate in a spelling bee in a fictional county.
But the child roles are actually played by adult actors, am I right?
Exactly. There's six college students, actually, myself included, playing the kids, And the funny thing is that even though they're children, they deal with several grown-up themes about changing and growing and becoming adults throughout the spelling bee.
I've read much about the colorful cast of characters, so tell us a bit about yours, but I want you to tell us about your character in character. You think you can do that?
I think I can try. Good morning, I'm Chip Tolentino, and last year I won the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. Well, it was the 24th annual last year. This year it's the 25th annual, and I hope to win again. I think I should be able to take the trophy one more year before I'm too old to participate. However, some changes have been happening. I'm growing, my clothes are getting too small, and I don't know, something's changing. I think I'm growing up.
So your character is sort of the coming-of-age story in this?
He is, yes. Chip is a all-American boy, Boy Scout, who aims to please, kind of a teacher's pet, if you will.
What about some of the other characters? You said they were all kind of dealing with grown-up issues. Now, what's their story?
Yes, several things that are included besides growing and changing are dealing with family life and parents. One character's parents are very unsupportive. One of the girls, her parents are always gone and are never around to see her at the spelling bee. One girl's father is too supportive and pushes her to be perfect and to be the best at everything she does. And it shows how family life can take a toll on all these kids, no matter how young they are.
I was also reading there's a lot of audience participation in this musical. So, like, if any of our listeners were to attend the musical, would they have to spell something on the spot or something?
Exactly,
like that?
If they want to. In addition to the six children contestants in the show, there are four audience volunteer slots. So I believe when you walk in to see the show, there'll be a place to sign up if you want to participate. Then your name might be called, and you might have to come sit on the stage for most of the show and spell words whenever you're asked.
So what would you say is the main draw for this musical?
The main draw for this musical is a chance to sit back and relax and watch a funny story about six kids and very grown-up situations at something as mundane as a spelling bee, and to see how fun it can be.
Thank you again, Mr. Robinson, for your time.
Well, thank you, sir.
KCU's Caleb Robinson is playing the role of Chip Tolentino in the Paramount Summer Musical 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. You can catch it tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 and a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. Finally, today also marks the one-year anniversary of Michael Jackson's passing. This event sent the entire media and entertainment world into a frenzy for weeks. His death, much like his life, was full of scandals. But let's look past all that for a moment. In the year since his death, we've seen a lot of new and interesting things from MJ. We're also getting wind of his more obscure projects. For many years before his death, fans of Sega's Sonic the Hedgehog series have speculated that Michael Jackson produced the soundtrack for Sonic 3 on the Sega Genesis. Now, Michael's involvement with Sega is no secret. He helped with a video game adaptation of his Moonwalker movie and made cameo appearances in games like Space Channel 5. But if you look at the end credits of Sonic 3, you won't see his name listed. But fans have picked out names of musicians that have worked with Michael before, and have found many similarities between Sonic 3's music and some of Michael's tracks. The most convincing piece of evidence is in the game's end credits theme. Played alongside MJ's Stranger in Moscow. Here they are side by side. But this was all speculation. No official word on Jackson's involvement was issued. Some say he was left out of the credits due to the abuse allegations arising at the time, around 1994. But a recent issue of the French-language Michael Jackson magazine Black and White interviewed Brad Buxer, who was credited in the game, and also toured with Jackson. And he confirmed that both Jackson and himself composed a soundtrack for the game. And as for the reason why he was left out of the credits, Buxer says that Jackson wasn't happy with the final result, since consoles at the time didn't have accurate sound reproduction, and he didn't want his name on something that, quote, devalued his music. From what many fans of the game say, however, the tracks in Sonic 3 were some of the most memorable in the series. And that is it for our one-year anniversary show. As always, I'm Blaine Singletary, and I've had my eye on entertainment.